Well, since the pandemic began, the Ottawa Carleton Detention Center has made changes to prevent the spread of COVID-19. According to the provincial ministry, those changes include restricting personal visitors, reducing inmate in-person court appearances, reducing the inmate population. But women who are inmates at OCDC say some of the measures happening on the inside are doing more harm than good. Yesterday, some of the women spoke about their experiences in an online talk held through the Accountability and Information Hotline, known as JAIL.
Indigenous women would like our smudging back. Since COVID-19, like, I've been here since April, and there's been no smudging, so we'd like to see that brought back. We have the right to our religious beliefs, and so a couple of us in here that have dental concerns, and there's no dentist here right now, so we spoke to the superintendent about being able to maybe see a dentist outside as they are opening, and he said that abscess teeth are not a dental emergency. There was actually a girl in my dorm 2 days ago that had an abscess burst in her mouth. They just gave her Tylenol and told her to go to sleep.
We reached out to the Ministry of Correctional Services for comment. They confirmed that during COVID-19, routine dentistry has been temporarily suspended and dental emergencies would be prioritized by medical staff. What does all this mean? Sahail Bensliman is a coordinator of the JAIL Accountability and Information Hotline. He's with us today. And Vanessa, a spoken word artist and former inmate at the Ottawa Carleton Detention Center, is also with us by phone. Hello to you both.
Hi.
Hello.
So, Hal, I'm going to start with you. We've had you on the show earlier this year to talk about the JAIL hotline. What kinds of things are you hearing right now from women in the Ottawa Carleton Detention Center?
Yeah, so as the recording highlights, we see that there is not programming that is adapted or that has been adapted to COVID-19 measures. So instead of expanding programming while cutting, because the visits, people are not receiving visits, for example. So we see that there's clawbacks on the very little rights or access that prisoners have compared to the past. We can see, the same issues coming back. So healthcare issues with the healthcare system, as the person who was on the recording, Brittany, explained that, the doctor is not allowing them to have access to opiate substitution treatment in an adequate manner, that they are being further stigmatized by the system, and these things are coming back, in that repressive and punish an environment that is predicated on punishment. These things their rights are being violated, and we see an intensification of the violation of rights under the name of public health measures.
So when we're talking about rights being violated, give me some examples, Sahail.
For example, we just heard that the person did not have, didn't have access to smudging since April. Mm-hmm. This is a cultural, spiritual practice for Indigenous folks, and some folks want to do it on a daily basis, and those are their rights as protected by the Human Rights Code. But the jail is not providing, is not accommodating those rights. Therefore, they're acting, according to me, in an unlawful manner.
How?
And another thing too, there's the summer solstice coming up on the 21st, Saturday, or next week, on the June 21st, and they have no guarantee that they're going to be able to perform their ceremonies.
And I'll come back to the ceremonies in just a moment, but my understanding, there's also complaints about, like, hair falling out right now because of shampoo and concerns about methadone as well.
Yeah, so the air in the jail is very dry, and that causes your skin, your hair to dry out. And if you don't have the appropriate product, they sell conditioner at the jail. First of all, you have to pay for it with your own money, and a lot of people can't afford it. And when you pay for it with your own money, they give you a conditioner that is not even from the dollar store, and they sell it to you more expensive, first of all, and it doesn't do nothing. So the women are also not able to buy makeup. So access to makeup has been restricted, not because of COVID, but even before that I spoke to them. And, you know, they're not happy about that because they can't, women said that they can't control their image, they can't feel good about themselves when they want to, etc. And that creating, they're already under a lot of stress, trauma, and violence at the jail, as Vanessa's going to talk about. But, you know, these small little things that might look very minor because we can go to the store and buy them for people are inside are very impossible to even, you know, obtain, which is not fair.
I want to bring Vanessa here in just a moment, but I just lastly about that Indigenous ceremonies situation. I mean, we unfortunately don't have the ministry on for an interview today. We did ask them about religious ceremonies. They said in a statement that they are still providing Indigenous ceremonies. I understand you're pretty accustomed to hearing these complaints and then needing to investigate what's happening or try to get people to in power to understand. What do you make of the ministry saying, no, these are still going on?
I think this is a spit on people's faces because at least, you know, be, you know, truthful about if they said that these things are going on, be truthful about it. Say, hey, you know, we experienced some difficulties. We couldn't, you know, but for them, maybe they see that as an admittal of guilt. You know what I mean? So that's why they want to hide it. And that's not the public has to know. Because the voices of people who are experiencing systems of oppression through carcerality and policing in our city are the ones who are speaking out against these things. And those are the voices who we need to bring. Not the someone who's a bureaucrat in an office who never spent a day behind bars who is going to tell us what is provided or what is not provided. We hear firsthand account of the people who are experiencing these systems. Therefore, the ministry has to accommodate these rights and has to make sure that people are respected. Obviously, they can't do that to a big extent in a jail because it is an environment predicated on control and violence. The only way that you can uphold their rights is to let them out to begin with. But at least if you're doing something wrong, you know, work towards, you know, eliminating it and work with the community members who are talking to you about these things.
Vanessa, I mean, you spent time in OCDC as an inmate. When you hear about those shifts happening with COVID-19, the additional challenges in terms of access to dentists and the shampoo and food and yard time, et cetera, how would that start affecting you as an inmate and your fellow inmates at that point?
It doesn't really sound like much of a difference compared to what was going on when I was there. Honestly, these are issues that have been going on for years, and it's obviously worse when you are listening to the news and you're having that fear about the pandemic and you have to be in close quarters with people and breathing the same recycled air and not have access to yard, not have access to cleaning supplies, not have access to soap to wash your hands. Our bathroom didn't even have a door on it. This is stuff, though, that's been going on for years, so I can't even imagine what the females are going through right now during the pandemic.
The challenge of speaking out, though, Vanessa, can you talk to me a little bit about that? Because if you are inside and you are needing to bring about change and you're trying to point out what's not fair or within that structure, what do you do?
A lot of people are scared to speak out because you get reprimanded. Like when I've been always very vocal when I'm there, and I've been threatened to be transferred to another jail. I've been threatened to do my full sentence and not get my 2/3 just because I complained about my diet. You know, they see ombudsman forms in your things when they're doing searches and they'll rip them up. There was a time where we had a really bad search where they threw us all in the yard and it was like minus 40 outside. They made us throw all our bras and panties in a pile and expected us to pick them out of the pile afterwards when they all look the same. And they also searched everybody in front of each other. So when the warden came through to make her walk, the warden at that time was Maureen, forget her last name. Everyone said they were going to speak up. I spoke up and nobody backed me because everyone's scared of the repercussions, especially when they know they might be there for a while or they know they might go back there because of, you know, like they know that they're in this certain lifestyle and they keep going back and you get you get punished for that. So it's hard because it's like you want to speak up, but then at the same time you don't want to be punished. I would like to speak up more about this, but at the same time I don't even want people to know that I was ever there. So it's a very difficult situation.
You mean in terms of being more vocal publicly, you don't want people to connect that to?
And even while being there.
Lastly then, Suhail and Vanessa as well, how do you bring about change at this point? Not you personally, but how can these systems be addressed during COVID-19 and beyond?
Vanessa, you want to go?
Sure. I feel like, you know, more people need to speak up. They need to hear from the people who are actually living there and going through this on a daily basis, like this is their life. Because hearing, like Suhail said earlier, from someone sitting in an office who goes home to their comfy bed at night and has warm, healthy food to eat and has, you know, like air out and gets to go outside and could pick up the phone and call their loved ones and these things is a lot more than most, than all of the people at OCDC have on a daily basis. So it's their opinion on what's going on shouldn't even be relevant because they could just say anything. And I feel like a lot of people have misconception about people who go to jail and what goes on there, and it's a hotel and everyone's just having three meals daily and watching cable TV all day, and that's not the case at all. So I feel like if we hear more personal stories and hear about the things that are going on, then at least it could be known in the public. And that's how we could start going about with change anyway.
I appreciate both of your time today. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
That's Suhail Bensliman, coordinator of the Jail Accountability and Information Hotline. And Vanessa is a former inmate at the Ottawa Carleton Detention Centre and spoken word artist. Thoughts on this? All in